Action.
Time of the month of movies for
June 2017.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
This year, I decided to go through 100 movies that I own that I bought that I haven't watched yet.
And I made a list of movies I should have seen by now, and I'm going through that.
And then any other movies we watched during that month. Then we'll talk about them and just kind of give little synopsises and our ratings on them.
And as I've said the rest of this year, the list of movies that I should have seen by now are also movies I assume everyone has seen but me. So, with that being said, I might ruin the ending of said movies. And that's why at the beginning of the podcast, I'll tell you what the two movies are. So then you have a warning.
Then you can pause it and then watch the movie.
Yeah.
And then...
So the two movies I watched that I should have watched by now was Dead Poets Society and RoboCop.
Which I saw one in high school and one maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, but the RoboCop, I actually watched the whole trilogy, so.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling if you watched RoboCop, you probably saw the other two.
I haven't, but I'm not sure if I will anyways. I have a few more than you, so I'm going to start out. The first movie I watched this month was The Thing, not John Carpenter's The Thing, which I watched last year for one of the top horror movies, or The Thing from Another World, which I watched a couple months ago as the original. This is the most recent movie that was technically a prequel to the John Carpenter's Thing.
Yeah, and I watched the John Carpenter's The Thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I watched that in August 2016, so I just watched that last year.
I believe I watched it the same month as you.
Yeah, I think so, too. So that, if you want to see the review for that, that's
another one. But I should have looked to see when I watched The Thing from Another World, but it was earlier this year, so you have 5 episodes to look through. But
I thought I watched The Thing from Another World.
It's the black and white one.
I know, I thought I watched it.
Did you? I don't know.
Does the eyeball thing...
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the crawling eye?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what movie here.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The UFO crashes?
Oh, no. That was the, yeah. That was, it had the word beyond in it.
Okay.
I believe.
Nope.
Outer space? It came from outer space? It came from outer space, I think. That might have been what it was called.
It came from outer space.
All right. No, it's not the same thing.
That's what I was thinking of. Sorry.
The thing... So it starts off... So in John Carpenter's The Thing, like it starts off with the helicopter chasing a dog, and then they find out the dog was an alien right away, and like it's this thing that like kind of absorbs the people, and you don't know which one's human or whatever. So this movie starts with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who played Ramona in the Scott Pilgrim movie. She's a scientist... who they call all these people to Antarctica because they found something in the ice. And what they found in the ice was a spaceship.
Hmm.
And they go, oh, here's this body it frozen in ice, this alien frozen in ice. And they dig it up, and they bring it to this base. And so far, like, the original from the 1950s, I think? I could be wrong. It came from outer space. The thing from another world. It follows that pretty close, except for the whole alien thing is much like this John Carpenter's thing. But eventually, like the alien thaws out, and then it starts replicating people, and they try to figure out what. But of course, in John Carpenter's The Thing, they realize fire hurts it, so it reacts to heat. In this one, they realize it can't reproduce non-organic matter. So when they look at people's mouths, they go, you have fillings. You don't have fillings. It can't reproduce the fillings, so you must be an alien or whatever. So that's one of their, like, the things that they...
But you wouldn't have clothes.
Look, man, I don't know how it works. I mean, I guess clothes is sort of organic matter because it comes from, like, plants and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's metal. I don't know.
Or they just found clothes and put it on.
Yeah, I don't. That could be true too. I don't know, but yeah, and then it kind of like leads up to the very end, during the credits, it keeps doing cut shots of basically the beginning of John Carpenter's The Thing, which is pretty cool. This came out, I want to say, 7 years ago, and the thing I like and hate about it are the special effects. Because in the original one, they had, puppets and old sorts of, live practical effects. And this one, it's all computer-generated. And some parts are this looks very real and shitty at the same time. So, the special effects kind of ruined parts of the movie for me because it... this is obviously a fake alien, and they kind of... You can see, there's one part where a guy is standing there, and his mouth starts, stretching open, and you can see where his face begins and the special effects end. I was like, this is 2010, man. How do they not have better effects than this?
This is 2011.
What?
It's 2011.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then 2011.
That's what IMDb says.
Okay, then they're probably right.
82 was the first one.
Yeah, it's such a good one. But it was overall, it was good. It was still good. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't bad either. I gave it a 7, and it looks like I was...
6.2 is IMDb.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining through and through, and I was looking at... Because the sets looked almost identical to... in the John Carpenter version and stuff. So they paid a lot of attention. That scene right there, that part. If you look at the YouTube, I'm I don't know. But yeah, I gave the thing a 7. So if you want to watch it, you can. You're not going to miss anything if you don't watch it. But if you just want a little bit more to the Thing franchise, I guess you can check it out. What was the first one you watched of the month?
RoboCop.
You can talk about that.
So I watched the original RoboCop trilogy, and most people know what RoboCop is, but I'll go into description anyway. Anyway, RoboCop started as a comic book and then got turned into a movie. So this is technically a comic book movie.
Was Dark Horse?
Dark Horse, yeah. Comics, yeah. They also made The Terminator and Judge Dredd and... stuff like that.
Aliens,
Predator. But anyway, RoboCop. So the movie starts, and the main character, Johnson? No.
I want to say Murphy, but
Murphy, that's it. It's okay. Murphy.
I wasn't sure if that was the actor's name or the main character's name.
He gets gunned down by a crime lord. It was pretty graphic, too. There's a tech company that's trying to make robotic cops, to keep the people off the streets because it's too dangerous. And this tech company, what is it, OCP, is trying to make these giant ED 209s or something like that. But there was a thing happened and killed people.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And you're not making stuff for our police department. But anyway, Murphy gets gunned down, and they're like, we can save him. Well, he's dead. They didn't save him. But they can use him and create a robot around him, basically making a cyborg. And he becomes RoboCop. And I don't fully understand why they needed a person, because he's dead.
Yeah.
I guess it uses its memories or muscle memory or something.
I think maybe they needed a touch of humanity, which is what the ED 209 didn't have. And it's just it's all based on algorithms.
But anyway, as the movie goes, RoboCop starts having flashes of his past before he was a robot. And little kids, he's got a weakness for kids because he has a kid and stuff like that. So that's pretty exciting, huh? So RoboCop, once he starts getting his memories, is like, this guy is the guy who killed me. I must stop him. They're like, no, you're supposed to be doing these other jobs. He's like, nope, this is more important. So then he tries to gun down the guy who basically took his life. And then you find out that the crime lord is working for the tech company.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so then it becomes big, crazy... fight scene thing at the end of the movie. And I don't remember exactly how the movie ended.
I remember it was like down at Industrial Park.
Yeah. And there was that guy who turned into a mutant.
Yeah, the toxic sludge stuff.
I'm having a hard time. I watched all three back to back pretty much. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not remembering the differences. But yeah, I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I probably should have seen it by now. And I'm glad I picked it up because I picked up the trilogy so I could watch all three of them. I gave RoboCop a 7.5.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
I was going to say, one small thing I liked that I remember about it was just like the small little things like in the background that made it the world exist. Like the little, like the catchphrase of like the, I buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that they just put in there and make it seem like things existed in that world.
God, it's not
just
it.
Made.
Sorry. I was just thinking of the remake.
Oh.
Which I will also talk about in this podcast, but that's later. I can talk about another RoboCop movie.
If you want to, sure.
So, the second RoboCop movie, they don't need to have the whole origin story like the first one did, because mm-hmm. that was a good part of the movie, or a big part of the movie. By now, everybody knows who RoboCop is, and they're like, oh my god, it's RoboCop!
In the movie, okay.
In the movie, I was like, but there's a new designer drug out on the market called Nuke, and it's...
This seems very 90s.
Yeah, very 80s.
Or 80s, whatever.
It's called Nuke, and basically people get addicted to it, and they get super strong. And, and at this point now, OCP, the tech company that was trying to make robots for the police department, now owns the police department because of... money that was owed because of something. I don't remember exactly, but basically they own the police department, and I don't remember where I was going with that, but anyway, the drug lord that's making this Nuke drug
mm-hmm.
is creating a whole bunch of different types of drugs. He's like, because Nuke is a red, and then basically every drug is a different color.
Oh, okay.
And you just inject it. Like, it's a little pinprick that you
inject. It's not a pill.
Right. Okay. It's an injection. Then you just inject it, and then you're like, oh, yeah! And he's going to, like, create a rainbow of drugs that are different emotions. Because it's like, oh, if you want to feel happy, you just take this happy drug. And, like, stuff like that. They're pissed off at RoboCop because they're afraid he's going to stop them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they want to create their own RoboCop.
Okay.
Called RoboCop 2.
That's where they use the movie name.
And the movie name, which confused me because partially through the movie you find out one of the cops is a spy for the drug group. Okay. Or I shouldn't say spy. He's an actual cop, but he's, you know,
taking handouts and stuff.
Right. He's getting paid by the drug lords to get information and stuff like that. And he ends up dying. They start cutting him apart and stuff, and I'm like, oh, they're going to make RoboCop 2 out of him. No.
And they just kill him?
They just kill him.
Just cut him up?
Yeah. Oh, and one of the kids, there's like a kid in the gang.
Yeah.
So whenever RoboCop sees him, he's like, oh, I can't hurt him, because he remembers his son. So they use that as a weakness for him.
They use a kid to do a little heavy lifting.
Right. So, but it was basically the drug lord gets killed, and they turn him into the next RoboCop. And they take his brain and eyes mm-hmm. and they put it in a jar and they put it in the machine.
Oh.
And then they have like a CG face on a screen, which looks like Lawnmower Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, epic battle at the end of that as well. And I might as well say the third one since I'm on a roll here.
How would you rate? Would you?
Oh yeah, RoboCop 2. I gave 6.5. So it wasn't as good as the first one.
That's what I hear.
Third one. So there's this. Okay, in RoboCop 3, the government is basically revamping Detroit because it's run down. So they want to make. Oh fuck! I forgot to write down what they were gonna call it. It's not Vice City.
San Andreas.
RoboCop 3.
Looks like...
Yeah, that sounds...
He looks like Arnim Zola, kind of.
Who?
From Marvel.
Delta City. They're basically turning Detroit into what they're calling Delta City, which is going to be more upscale and stuff like that. So they want to tear down all the shitty parts of town and to create this Delta City. But people live there.
Yeah.
Like low-income families and stuff like that. Not just drug lords and gang members and stuff, but actual families. So this movie follows this little girl whose parents get killed because of this, they call it a rehab unit. This rehab unit comes and like escorts everyone out of town on buses and stuff like that. And,
but they're just like basically a relocation.
Yeah. So they can make money off of Detroit again, 'cause they're not making money. So, this little girl gets separated and there's a resistance group that's working that lives out of a church. And, and this little girl is a hacker type, like, oh, I can do this. And she hacks into Ed 209 and makes it like fire back at the rehab unit and stuff. But so this group is
I just realized rehab is like rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So this resistance group is living in a church and trying to find a way to, you know, stop this and things. And RoboCop is working for the police, obviously. So they're like, you must, you know, clear these people out. And he sees a little girl and he remembers his kid. And he's like, I can't do this. And he's like, you must obey. Like, he's started going through his protocol. You must obey cops, da 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 da. And he's like, so he's like torn. Like, do I help these people? They look like they need help.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not supposed to betray the police. So he's like, the cops are betraying what they're supposed to be. So then he like turns and starts like attacking the cops. And his partner, that girl, you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
She's
yeah.
in every single movie.
Okay.
She gets gunned down and killed at this point.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So he's like, I must help these people, these rebels. So now the cops are all pissed off at RoboCop and they're like, we must take him out. And in RoboCop 2, OCP owns the police department, but there's this Japanese company who's trying to buy out OPC or OCP. So that's like going on at the same time. And there's like this robotic samurai.
What?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. So he, and there's like multiple of them. Like, this guy is acting weird, but then you find out he's a robot and there's multiple versions of him. And they're trying to stop RoboCop. And this is like the epic part of the movie. And RoboCop has a jetpack now.
Finally.
And he's in the top of this building and it's going to blow up. So he just rocket boosts and fly through the city. And it was fucking amazing. It was so cheesy and great. I loved it so much. Like, just like, what could make RoboCop cooler? He could fly. So at the very end of the movie, he's flying. It is amazing. But the movie itself was okay. But there were parts that I liked a lot. So I gave it a 7.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth watching.
So,
the second one is, it's like they're trying to be like the first one. But the third one is a movie by itself. It's good, I think.
It sounds like
it's not as good as the first one. But
they really like take advantage of his kryptonite type thing. Like, we had to make a child in every movie.
I know, right?
We need to shove it in his face.
Oh, and I think it was the second one. They told, like, Murphy, you have to stop going to your ex-wife's house. You're creeping her out. She thinks you're actually in there and you're not.
Oh, Murphy.
So it was fun. So RoboCop 1, I gave 7.5. RoboCop 2, I gave 6.5. And RoboCop 3, I gave 7.
So a solid 7%.
So 7%. 1, 3, and then 2 was the order that I liked.
Speaking of 3, I watched the third Dark Knight movie.
Yeah, Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. I saw this movie like years ago.
Rise up.
Yeah, years ago when we did the went out in the theaters.
Ouch.
But yeah, a while back I bought it on Black Friday for dirt cheap, and I just been sitting on my shelf for a while. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch it because I don't know why. Because we're gonna go see Wonder Woman. And I'm like, this will make it get me ready for the DC universe, even though it's a different director and thing. But Dark Knight Rises, for the five of you who haven't seen it. It obviously takes place in the third part of the Dark Knight trilogy, which Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and then Dark Knight Rises. At the end of Dark Knight, Batman just kind of runs off, and Harvey Dent dies and stuff, and he like so basically he runs off, and they kind of allude that Batman was the one that killed Harvey Dent.
Oh yeah, that's right. They tried to frame Batman for the death of the death of Harvey Dent.
So
he just tried to save somebody else.
Yeah,
he just did save him.
Didn't he fall off a building though?
Okay, Harvey Dent dies.
Yeah,
and Two-Face gets made. So basically, Harvey Dent died in that fire.
Yeah, so the movie starts with like Bruce Wayne in hiding, and just basically like taking a break from Batmaning, and Batman is like, "I'm not here." He's not there. But then once some things start happening, where like Bane emerges and is like, oh, I got... He's like, and he like starts doing all this crazy stuff. Like, he's robbing the stock exchange. And like, they have this big, like... Wayne Enterprises made this, like, this nuclear reactor type thing that they could use for renewable resources and stuff like that for power. But then they realized, oh, in the wrong hands, someone could turn this to a bomb. So they scrap the project. And then Bane comes along. He's like, oh, we're going to activate this bomb. And basically he holds the whole city on, like, holds them all under, like, house arrest of the city and, like, quarantines everyone off. And it just turns into a whole free-for-all. And Bane is kind of the one in charge because technically he puts the people in charge. And it just all chaos ensues, and then a whole lot of stuff happens with Batman and Catwoman, and
well, he takes over the stock exchange too.
Yeah. But
money runs everything. So when you run the money, you run the world.
Yeah. But it's a little long. It's like I want to say close to 2.5 hours, maybe longer, maybe closer to 3. Maybe I want to say it's like I don't know, whatever. Whatever, you're looking it up. But, I mean, Catwoman, I get mad because it always feels like the characters I want to see more of, you don't see.
What was your question?
How long it was.
Oh, 244.
Oh, I was going to say 245?
Came out 2012.
Yeah. I know, we made the, on a budget 7 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's how old those sparklers were.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't work. Well, I didn't tell you that story.
No. Catwoman, I liked her a lot. I wish she was in it more, and I wish she was a little more like... Because she could have been an awesome character, but they just kind of gave her a glimpse of it. But it was good. A little cheesy at some parts, but... And it, I don't know what else to say about it, but I gave it a 7.5. I mean, I like it.
I'd have to watch it again. I liked it when I saw it, but...
Yeah.
Some movies don't hold up, so well, I'm guessing it'd probably be a 7.5, but...
There was a certain part in the movie when we watched it in the theaters, and I'm, like, watching it, I'm like, okay, all right, where's this going? And then it hit a point where I was like, oh, Jesus, we have a lot left of this movie. And once the part came, like, when I watched it again, I'm like, okay, I know how much is left about, so it didn't seem like as much of a trudge through it, because, like, once this went into, like, the whole, like, courtroom thing, we're like, oh, this is a people's court thing, like, exile or death... And I'm like, holy shit, there's so much of this movie left. But, yeah. That's where, like, Scarecrow makes his third appearance. And he's, like, one of the characters. He's, like, the villain that shows up in all three movies.
Yeah.
Basically.
But, well, Ra's al Ghul's in two of the three. No, he's not in the third.
He's in the third one, but as a memory.
Yeah. Because this whole... I mean, the whole trilogy is revolved around Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, one of the epic villains of... Ra's al Ghul, but they pronounced it Ra's al Ghul. It's Ra's. That's how you pronounce it.
Shit, what was it, the Midnight... Not the Midnight Society. The, whatever, Order of the Darkness or something, whatever it was fucking called. Anyways, the group of, like, people that he trains with in Batman Begins. You know, those guys. But yeah, I gave it 7.5. While we're on the process of the...
Demon's Head.
No, it wasn't that. But, while we're talking about DC movies, Wonder Woman came out.
Yeah, it did. And League of Assassins.
League of Assassins.
I was like, ah. Because, yeah, duh, the League of Assassins from Arrow.
Yeah. But, anyways, yeah, Wonder Woman came out.
Yeah, it was fucking good.
It was good. I liked it.
I can't wait for it to come on a DVD so you watch it again, because I don't like seeing movies in the theater twice.
Yeah.
Especially for how expensive they are. It's like, sometimes when you go see a movie, you might as well just buy it, because it's the same price.
Yeah.
Especially if you buy popcorn and soda, you're definitely spending less if you buy popcorn and soda from the store and buy the movie.
Yeah. My first initial thing to mention with this, though, is I didn't score it as high because you know how I kind of get with origin movies.
Right.
And this was basically an origin movie.
Yeah, but to me, I feel like the origin story of Wonder Woman, people kind of know it.
Yeah, yeah.
But each time it's told, it's like a little different. Like, everyone knows that she's from the Amazon. Like, she's an Amazon.
Yeah.
And she's on an island.
Themyscira.
Yeah. I mean, that's just pretty much all you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's the... She was born from Zeus. Zeus created her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, yeah, on this basically Amazonian island. All women live there and train and fight. And, I mean, that's basically all you know of Wonder Woman. So, I'm fine with the origin story because then it delves more into it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going, oh, she's from this island. Oh, that's basically the whole premise of the...
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, part of the thing, too, is it's not necessarily just, like, where they came from, but it's, like...
Introducing
all the characters, and like, so everyone's like, oh, you're Wonder Woman, hi, I'm Wonder Woman, hi, well, pleased to meet you. It's like you're watching everyone meet everybody. Like, like I said, it's not necessarily just for this movie, it's just for almost all origin movies.
Right.
This is for the audience to get to know.
So basically, this movie takes place during World War I. You don't know that right away.
Yeah.
You start the movie with her as a little kid, and then you see her growing up and slowly learning how to train and fight.
Because she's the first child in however long.
Right.
Like decades or even like millennia or whatever.
And
centuries.
She wants to learn, and her aunt trains her, but her mom doesn't want her to learn.
Yeah.
And as she grows up, I'm guessing she's probably... in her early 20s at the point that the movie really starts taking off.
Yeah.
And basically, a plane crashes outside the island from World War I. Plane comes in there, and you find out that Trevor...
Stephen Trevor.
Stephen Trevor. I always forget his first name. Stephen Trevor is... He's a U.S. American... And he is a spy. He got caught spying on the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So the Germans are coming after him. So his plane crashes, and then a whole bunch of Germans come and surround the island. There's a big, huge fight sequence. And she's like, "Oh no, the war is happening again. We must stop the war from happening because this is the war of all wars." And I think it's Ares.
Ares is the god of war. Yeah.
She's like, "We must find Ares and tell him to stop this war." And
because
Steve Trevor's like, "What are you talking about? Yeah, these are Greek gods. Like, this isn't like,
because the women were there to like be a barrier because men are known to like
start wars
because of Ares and stuff." So yeah, she's like, the women.
She's like, we must stop Ares from stopping this war. And he's like, "That's Greek mythology. You're nuts." But I can show you where the war is, and we can try to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So then she ends up leaving, following Steve Trevor along to the battlefronts, and
there's some pretty awesome, like, well, I shouldn't say this, pretty awesome. There's one main major like battle scene in the war that is so good, and I wish it was like twice as long. It's so good.
Yeah, basically they're like, okay, we will go to the war. And she's like, I want to go to the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, we're going to go on the front lines. This is like no man's land. And this is very dangerous. And she's like, I'm not afraid. And then she just freaking like goes out in no man's land. And oh my God, it was amazing. And it brought tears to my eyes. And just even talking about it was so fucking good.
A lot of awesome choreography and stuff.
Oh my God. It was so fucking good. And I think I don't want to give too much of the movie away, so no. I'm going to stop with the plot there. But as a movie as a whole,
I'll say also part of the villainy of the movie is that there is the reason why he was spying, and there's a lady named Dr. Poison.
Dr. Poison.
And she's like, and the reason why they need to stop her is because she's developing this gas that's like worse than mustard gas, and it's gonna like just basically like gas masks don't matter and stuff.
So Steven Trevor is trying to get to stop her.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman's like, we gotta find Ares. He's like, whatever. Well, I'll use you and help you get to this Dr. Poison.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird because there's so many freaking comic book movies out there.
Yeah.
Like, too many.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I'm not going to see a bunch of them.
Spider-Man comes out tomorrow, and
I'm not going to go to the theater to see that one.
I might see it on a Tuesday, like, maybe, but I say that of a lot of things.
The only movie in the theater right now I'd want to see is Baby Driver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Marvel has this thing where almost every movie feels the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's some action, there's comedy, and all this, and it feels the same. And this movie feels different.
I'll have to say, though, like, they always, whenever they shove comedy into a comic book movie, it always feels forced, and it rarely works for me.
Right.
But it, like, the comedic moments in this
fit.
Majority of them, it was definitely not forced. Good job. Yeah, there's a comedic moment here and there. I'm like, oh, they're just trying to be silly here. But most of it was like, that was good. That was pretty funny.
I mean, much like Logan, like, I don't know. I can't tell you which one I like better, Logan or Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them both because they're different.
Yeah.
This isn't a retelling of Captain America like I thought it was going to be. It was better. It's basically what Captain America should have been. I mean, Logan is so different, too. I mean, we talked about that in March.
Yeah.
But,
well,
I don't know.
It was the March episode yesterday.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the thing is, too, is with a lot of comic book movies, you're like, who's the main villain? And you, like, they try to focus, oh, this person, he's the worst thing, and this is why we, but this one is like, what's the worst thing that's happening?
The war
is happening. Like
war is more than a person.
Yeah. So it's like it feels like she almost feels more helpless because there's such a giant thing. Like, so it actually feels like you worry for her because at the very beginning when the Germans come in and like they're shooting, like they have this big epic fight on the beach with like the Amazonians and the humans, and they're dying left and right. Like, oh, they're not immortal. They're not like they're strong as shit. They can like shoot people with arrows and like shields and crazy shit like that, but they're very vulnerable. And like seeing her going, you're gonna run into this like automatic chain gun, like you're like this Gatling gun, like you're not gonna survive. You know this, right? Like, if you get hit by that, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So it actually felt like the character was more human than like, oh, it's Spider-Man. He's gonna get beat up by a train, but he's fine. You know.
It seemed more realism.
Yeah.
Fighting and things like that.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
I feel like I'm giving
it... I gave it a 9.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm giving it a lower score than I should be.
I was just checking because I wanted to see it. Logan, I also gave a 9.
I gave it a 4. No, just kidding. No. I gave it an 8.
This is definitely one of those movies that when it comes out, I'm going to buy it and watch it.
I feel like I should give it
right away.
Give it an 8.5. I'm going to give it an 8.5 instead. I'm changing it.
I usually don't like rating movies this high. Unless I've seen it multiple times, because does it hold up? I have no idea. It might not hold up the second watching, but it could. I mean, I gave Logan a 9 too, and I only watched that once, even though I bought it.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it again.
And I think I've only given like one or two movies on my list of 10, and that was Jaws was one of them, which is my favorite movie of all time.
I don't know if I've ever
you gave
seen
Scott
it.
Pilgrim.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's my favorite movie ever. So. Yeah, I'm not going to reorganize this right now.
So
I gave that a 9.
I changed mine to an 8.5. The next movie I watched was based on a book as well by Harper Lee called To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, So I watched that movie, and I'm like, I mean, I love the book. Like, I read it in high school. I'm like, this is a really good book. And I read it, I read it recently since then, too. And I'm like, this is such a good goddamn book. And the movie, they cut out some, like, quite a few things. But it's like, like the important stuff that it cut like, is still in there. The old important stuff. It takes place in the early 1900s. I want to say maybe 1926. I could be wrong. I'm probably way wrong with that. But the early half of the 1900s century. But
1960 is when the book was printed.
Yeah, but it takes place before the plot. Obviously, takes place before that. But the book is about a girl named Scout, and her dad Atticus is a lawyer.
1936.
Ah, I was off by a decade. Her dad Atticus is a lawyer, and obviously this is the early 30s, so a lot of people still hate black people. But what happens is in this like small southern city that they live in, it's more of a town, like a farm town kind of thing. In case I don't want to, I'm explaining this plot as if no one ever read this book in high school, but in case you didn't, so one of the low income, like never have food for their family, tons of kids. The girl accuses this black man of raping her and beating her, and everyone's like, well, we're a racist city in the South. This black man has no chance, but it's up to Atticus to, like, he's going to try his damnedest. And like, and then as it's going on, like, Scout is, like, learning about being a grown-up, because I think she's, like, 6 or 8 in the book or movie. And she's, like, going to school for the first time and those other stuff. And it's, like, it's a lot of, like, growing up and learning what, like, prejudice is, and learning like how to behave in public and like and all the stuff that happens, because her family is basically her dad Atticus, her brother, is it Jeb?
I think so.
Jem. It's a 3-letter name with a J and a
Jem.
E. Jem.
Scout and Jem.
And then they have a I don't want to say a maid, a hired help who's a black lady as well. But It's such a, like, I miss the days when, like, children were good actors, even though like, this movie's black and white and it's old.
Yeah, those kids were awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, they're like, why are you doing this, Atticus? I don't know. I just like the way they act. And then, of course, one of the big characters, there's one of the haunted houses, one of the quote-unquote haunted houses by this guy who never sees people in the daylight, and they have all these, like, horror stories of him, like, murdering people and eating people in the basement and all this other shit. His name is Boo Radley. I think his real name is Arthur Radley. But yeah, he's like, a cool character and stuff like that. But it's such a class. Like, if you haven't seen the movie's good, but the book is so much better, and it's fun and funny, and it's a good book, but it's a good movie, too. Gregory Peck is the dad, is Atticus. I don't know who anyone else is. I don't know. Whatever. But I gave the movie an 8. And that's one thing. I was watching it. I'm like, because I was watching it before I was going to go to Comedy City practice. I'm like, it's probably going to be, it's an old movie.
Oh my God, I didn't even put 2 and 2 together. It's Mockingbirds and Finches.
Oh, shit. Damn, it's a finch. But then, I was like, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, it's an old black and white movie. It's got to be like an hour and a half long, right? Maybe 80, 90 minutes. So I was like, I'll get done, plenty of time to head over to Comedy City practice. The movie's over 2 hours long. I was like, oh, shit. I wasn't expecting that. But no, I like it a lot. To McClellan Mockingbird, I gave it an 8.
Nice.
So,
yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
So it's good. It's a good one.
I know, I liked it when I saw it, but that was like probably in high school.
Oops. The next movie I watched Creepshow last month, and I decided to watch Creepshow 2 this month. Now, Creepshow...
And they made a second one?
They made 3 of them. Okay, technically, the first one was written by Stephen King, and then directed by Guillermo del Toro. Shit. Romero. George Romero.
He did the first one.
Yeah, he did the first one.
Okay.
The second one, the stories are written by Stephen King, but if someone else directed it, and I can't remember who it was.
It was Michael Gornick.
Yeah, whoever he is. But the first Creepshow had like 5 little movie stories, so like about probably 20 minutes apiece. This one only had 3.
He did Dawn of the Dead. So he's like known for doing the sequels of Romero movies.
Okay. But yeah, the first
definitely has a different feel than Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, the movie has like three little parts to it. One, it's about this guy who lives like sort of like on this Indian reservation, and he has a short little store, and like these kids decide to run in there and bust him up and like kill the shop owners, and they have like one of those like big
wooden Native American.
Yep, wooden Native American who like is on the front porch, and he goes in and acts vengeance that night. And the second one, which is a short story from I liked a lot from Skeleton Crew, is called The Raft, where these kids, these two guys and these two college girls, like, hey, we can get these two college girls, we can get them to the raft and like go swimming one last time before fall. And they sneak onto this property where no one else is, like the beach is closed, and there's this like oily patch on the water that they notice at first, and they realize it's a living creature, and they can't get in the water, that's going to kill them. And basically that's what happens there. And I can't remember what the third one was.
Third one, it says Hitchhiker.
Hitchhiker. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a weird one. It reminds me of like a Tales from the Crypt episode where this lady is having an affair, and then she hurries home and accidentally hits this hitchhiker on the side of the road. And she's like, "Oh, I can't let anyone know that I was here. Someone else will find him along." And then and then the guy died.
I know what you did last summer.
But then like she keeps seeing him like on the side of the road, like, "Lady, can I get a ride?" And he's like all covered in blood and stuff. And just basically, she's terrorized for a half an hour of that.
Forever.
But I don't know. It wasn't as good as the first one. But it's still kind of entertaining because, like I said, I like the raft, the story, because it creeps me out about, I'm scared of water in the first place, and that kind of adds to the fear of it. Which is actually kind of funny because I was listening to this this podcast called Fear Based Life, and I messaged, and I was listening to an episode with, because Mel Stevens is the host of that, and she brings guests on and talks about their fears, and then Christine Woods, from like Hello Ladies and Flash Forward and stuff, she was on it, and they were talking about, she's like, yeah, I saw this movie as a kid, and like this guy's in a lake, I can't remember anything about it. And so I messaged her on Twitter, I'm like, hey, it's this movie. And she's like, oh, thank God, like I didn't do anything about it and just waited for someone, because it was like a 10 months ago that episode came out. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna watch that movie. And that's why I tossed it on after I watched Creepshow.
Do you have the third one too or not?
I don't, but I guess it's not made in conjunction with Stephen King. It's like an independent movie, okay. And they just got the name rights, I guess.
Yeah, because it looks like there's like five stories in this one.
Yeah, I never saw
it. It's got a really bad score.
Yeah, it's only related to the other two by name, I guess.
Yeah, because I guess each story is a different director too.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I like when they do that. I like when, but you know.
But yeah, well, okay. Creepshow got a 6.5.
I liked that one a lot.
Creepshow 2 got a 6.
Okay.
And the 3 got a 3.
All right.
So that's how bad the third one is compared to the other two.
Cool.
So, yeah, don't go running out for the third one.
I'm going to do one more movie because then we'll talk about the one that you saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Creepshow 2, I bought it on a box set with a bunch of other movies.
Oops, I didn't mean to close that.
And, like, one of the movies was a movie called Chud, which I heard a lot of people talk about.
It's a decent cult classic movie.
Yeah, it's a decent cult classic movie. It's
B-movie, I should say. A classic B-movie.
Yeah, it... not Richard Dreyfuss. Oh, shit. The one of the... Marv from Home Alone.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern is in it. The dad from Home Alone, I believe. Like, and so it's like, oh, it's a Home Alone reunion before they made the movie. but...
What does Chud stand for, Scott?
Well, here's the thing. So the movie starts with people just like disappearing off the streets and like stuff.
Homeless people.
Yeah, homeless people and stuff like that. Or like the first person that I think it shows is actually, you find out later, it's the sheriff's wife. The police chief's wife. But it kind of follows three characters. One guy, Daniel Stern's character, who is runs like the soup kitchen. And then the other main character, he is like a photographer, and he did some pictures, like he did a exhibit on homeless people and stuff like that. And then like the police chief, but the two guys start checking around, and they realize that a lot of homeless people are going disappearing and stuff. And then the police are like, Oh yeah, it's the word Chud. Yeah, it's a cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. He says that's what it is. Yeah. But then later you find out that the city, the reason why they're humanoid, but they look kind of like aliens. They look kind of like the host, like the flukeworm guy from X-Files, kind mm-hmm. of. But they found out that it's a project they're using to just put toxic waste in the sewers of low-income areas. And CHUD actually stands for Contamination Hazard Urban Disposal.
What?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
once, I don't remember that.
So once like the police and stuff are like, oh, we realize that what's happening, so we're gonna gas the sewers, and of course the two main characters are down there trying to find out like more evidence to throw against the police officers and stuff like that. John Goodman's in the movie for about 5 minutes and gets murdered immediately. He's like a police officer, he's hitting on this waitress, and then a CHUD goes in there and kills everyone. Now it wasn't a bad movie. I gave it a 6.5 CHUD. I mean, nothing amazing, but it was a decent, different type of movie for like the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, oh boy, in a little bit, I'll tell you about the sequel. But, yeah. So anyways, what's the next movie you watched?
Well, the next movie I watched, you also watched.
Sure did.
It was a movie called Lucy.
Yeah.
This is Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
As Scott says, it's a movie.
It sure is.
So, imagine reality is wrong, and the myth that we only use 4% of our brain.
8%.
8%. I don't know.
8 or 10%.
Whatever.
Either way.
Imagine that myth is true, and the rest of our brain is just dormant and doesn't do shit, which we know is false.
Yes.
They create this drug from, like, a synthetic drug that they got from basically...
It's like a uteral drug.
Stem cells.
Yeah.
Basically a stem cell type thing. And it unlocks your...
A uteral, Jesus.
It unlocks the rest of your brain, pretty much. But anyway,
because the idea is that when you're a baby and you're growing,
you're still growing,
and all these things are plugging into you because you had to be aware of everything, and yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't remember why, but she's like meeting this guy and he's like, hey, can you go in and, you know,
it's her boyfriend.
Okay. Go in and, you know,
I think
give the money and like, you know, make the trade drop, whatever. She goes in. Gets tied up, and they basically cut her open,
yeah,
and hide the drugs in her so she can get across the border.
Yeah.
So she's got these drugs in her, but the bag leaks,
mm-hmm.
or busts or whatever, and it slowly starts seeping into her bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And as the movie goes, she gets smarter and... faster and stuff.
Yeah. Her brain, like, it has
it starts by, like, being able to, like, get residences off of things. Like, oh, you, when you were a little kid, like, she's, like, telling stories about these people she's never met.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she can sense it. And
she's a psychic and all that,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. And as the movie goes, like, it keeps telling you a percentage of how much of her brain's being used.
So then she starts seeing, like, how everything connects, like it's a like the world is a computer, and she's like, oh, this, and like, yeah, she's like figuring out.
And the people who want the drugs are trying to get it, and she's just trying to get it out of her. And I don't know, it wasn't.
No,
I,
she, but then there's that guy, Morgan Freeman's character. He always does these.
Get so high of a score.
Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. But Morgan Freeman's character is like talking about the different, like how the brain works and stuff. So like the beginning, he's like giving like an mm-hmm. like a narration over.
So apparently, he knows what happens when you unlock your whole brain, because he's basically the narrator telling us what's happening as it's happening.
Well, he's giving his lecture, and they just take his lecture. And
then she meets up with him.
Yeah, yeah. But then she's like, I'll get the information for you once I unlock everything. I'll get you all the information so you can be years ahead in your research and stuff. And yeah, I was excited because I heard good people talk about, like, oh, it's an awesome movie, and it's done by the guy who I mean, I know I haven't seen a lot of his movies, but Fifth Element is
Luc Besson.
Yeah, Fifth Element is like one of my favorite.
Or Luc, like, I don't know how you pronounce it, but
yeah, it's
Luc Besson.
Yeah, he did like, I would say, a lot of movies, and people said how great
Fifth
these
Element,
were.
The Professional, Taken 3, which.
Well, he did Taken, I think, and then the characters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did the first Taken, and then the characters in the other one.
The Transporter.
He wrote it.
La Femme Nikita, he did. Yeah, but he's done a lot of movies, and I heard great things. And
well, it says he wrote 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he wrote it.
Okay.
So he wrote the Taken movies, Fifth Element, Professional, Trainspotter. Transporter.
With Jason Statham.
And he's got that Valerian movie that's coming out.
Yep.
But people were saying how good this was, and it was pretty much what I was expecting. There wasn't anything extra. I mean, to me, the beginning was kind of cool, and they're doing the cuts with the nature and stuff like that. Show that something bad was going to happen. That was kind of cool.
The part where she, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but I kind of don't care when she like times travels like for like a minute and touch and like talk because her name is Lucy and like oh she's like and then Wonder Freeman mentions like oh she was the first primate. I'm like, and then she goes back in time and touches hands with the first primate whose name is Lucy and she's Lucy. Oh, it's a whole full circle. And then she goes back into the present day. Like, what the fuck was that?
I feel like I was very generous with this score. But I gave it a 5.
Well, I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I gave it a 5.
What did IMDb say? Because, Christ.
A 6.4?
No.
That was better than Creepshow 2.
That's... Oh.
According to IMDb.
Well. Okay.
What?
I don't know. I was going to say, like...
It was better than...
Like, Creepshow 2 isn't amazing, but I just like it because of... Right. Stuff, but, I mean, I could see the general public. I don't know.
6.4... 355,000 reviews.
That's a lot of reviews.
Yeah, it is.
354,001 now.
No, there's more than that. I just don't want to say all the numbers.
Oh, okay.
I rounded.
Okay. Anyways.
I only got one more movie.
I have 3. The next movie I watched was House. Now, not the Japanese horror movie, but the American movie.
Monster House?
Just House.
The House with Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell?
No, just House.
With Hugh Laurie? The guy who's House?
No, not that one. That's the TV show. House with Norm. Norm is in it. And then...
Norm.
That's not his name. It's something else.
You said Norm's in it.
Not Norm McDonald. The man from Cheers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
George Wendt. George Wendt is in it.
Let's see if this is it.
Not Norm MacDonald. Yep, that's it.
Troubled right there. Writer?
Who?
A troubled writer moves into a haunted house?
Yep, that's the story. But look
at it. It's got the font of freaking...
Strange Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. It's a horror comedy fantasy. That's not a good combination in my book. So, the very beginning of the movie, this old woman, this guy's like bringing groceries in, and he finds out he's like, "Oh, where are you, old woman? I got your groceries." And then he like hears noises in the house, and he walks around, and then he finds the old woman hanging from like her room upstairs, and he's like, "Oh no!" And then the main character, who's a writer, he shows up to the house, and he's like, "Oh man, this is my aunt's house. You know what? I need to write a new book, and my deadline's coming due. I'm gonna move into the house." Because I lived here as a kid and growing up and stuff, and I'm going to live here and write my new book. But he's like a horror writer, but he's like, I'm going to write my adventures from Vietnam, my Vietnam adventures or whatever. And George Wendt's like a nosy like neighbor. He's like, oh, hey. He like always like shows up in the middle of the night and stuff like that. But then it just gets, it has too wacky of stuff. Like, there's a swordfish hanging on the wall. At one point, it comes alive and starts, like, flapping around. So he shoots with a shotgun. And then George Wendt's like, oh, no, better call the cops. He's shooting guns off. This is weird. And it just has, like, all these, like, really fucking weird, like... I don't know. It's not deep. Oh, and the guy from Night Court, Bull from Night Court,
yeah,
is in it as like one of his friends from the army. And basically, like, you find out all about his past, the main character's past, because, like, he's married to this actress, but they're going through a divorce because years ago his kid disappeared while he was on the property and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, so there's a connection there and also there's shit. He gave it a 5.5. I don't know. I saw it once before, and I was like, but it was my box set. I'm like, maybe it's better this time, though, that I'm, like, 13 years older than I was when I saw it last time, and it's not as good. It's not as good as I remember it being. Speaking of not as good, now remember when I talked about Chud?
Yeah.
This other box set that I just started had Chud 2 : Bud the Chud. And I'm like, well, the first one wasn't bad. This one, let's see what they do with this one. They also decided to turn this into a comedy horror. Now, this is a no-no in my book. Don't turn movies completely switch genres on this kind of thing. So, what happens is there's a nerdy character and a cool character, and they're best friends, which doesn't make sense in most situations. But they're in high school together, and they both get in trouble for some reason, and they have to do work after class in the science room, and they have to count frogs or whatever. And one guy's like fucking around like, aha, look at me, I'm doing this. And the guy's like, oh, the frog's escaping. So they try to catch a frog and they knock a cadaver out the schoolroom doors and it starts going down the highway. And like, oh no, we gotta replace the body, otherwise the teacher's gonna be mad at us. So they go to the hospital and there they have a Chud, which, like I said, it looks like the X-Files, the Flukeworm Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, this looks more like someone who tried dressing up like a zombie for the Thriller music video and failed. But like, oh, it's a Chud, we froze him, so now, like, and then we'll try to figure out a cure for this. Well, then they go into that room and they steal that Chud body, and when they bring it inside their house, like, oh, we gotta keep it at our house instead of bringing it to school right away, because fucking dumb idiots. But they accidentally drop a hairdryer in the bathtub, because he was in the bathtub, and it comes back to life because it thawed out and stuff. Like, oh my god, we did it. We figured out how to bring bad bodies back to life. Let's leave it here and then go get supper or whatever the fuck. And then like the guy wanders around the house, like eats their dog, fucking, like, the parents don't even notice he's like breaking things and stuff. It's just fucking, and it's like that moment in Encino Man when Brendan Fraser wakes up and he's, like, trying everything. It's like that, but he's in a bathroom. He's constantly flushing a toilet and overflows. And he's like, ah, mirror, what's this? What's wrong with me? Why do I look weird? Oh, look, it's Rubber Ducky. It's fucking stupid. And then it escapes and they go, uh-oh, we lost the second body. And the army's like, oh, someone stole our property. These kids are in trouble. And then, but he's going around the neighborhood just biting people and they're turning into just crooked teeth sort of zombie makeup people. They don't look anything like the Chuds in the first one. But then he sees a picture of the main characters and they hang out with a girl and he falls in love with the girl. So then they show up to the high school dance and everyone's like, oh, cool makeup, oh, awesome costume, and all sort of dumb shit like that. God damn it. There's the main character's like a little sister who's in bed sleeping and they haven't even eaten dinner yet. And at one point she walks, she's like, is this a dream? He's like, yes, this is a nightmare. Go back in your room, otherwise this man will eat you. And she's like, oh no. And she goes back to her bedroom. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, the little girl's there just for like two, like three, like she's the character in a sitcom, a shitty sitcom, where all she does is give like those one-liners, but she's like 8 years old. And they fucking wrote that character in there for her. God damn it. I don't know what else to say about the movie. It was dumb. I hated it. They had a song that was garbage. There's Bud the Chud. I had it queued up on YouTube, and I think I closed it already. But good. I gave it a 2. Like, this fucking sucked. I hated it.
It was one of those things that you wish you could have stopped watching it?
It was one of those that I wish I could have stopped watching it. Or I was watching it and go, maybe it gets better. Or I go, hey, maybe if someone was here with me, we could both go, this is happening, right? But it wasn't.
Did you watch it or did you fall asleep watching it?
I hope. Oh, man. No, because I know what happened at the end. I didn't fall asleep. Oh, God. Yeah, maybe I was like a little girl. You're right. Oh, shit. Fucking dog.
So I watched the RoboCop trilogy, as yeah. I mentioned. So I want, out of curiosity, out of pure curiosity. Okay. So
that kills the cat.
Most of the movies that I have on the list are available at the library because they're very common movies, right? So every time I went to the library, I've been trying to find RoboCop, and they kept having the new one, and they only had the new one.
Yeah.
And eventually I finally got the trilogy, but after I finished it, I'm like, I should watch the new one from 2014, the remake, you know? Because, I mean, it can't be bad, right? Because the Dread movie was good.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe this, I mean, this was good. No, it definitely wasn't good.
No.
People I talked to were like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, did I watch a different movie? I mean, aside from the special effects being better,
mm-hmm.
his suit looks different,
yeah.
which shouldn't be a problem. But I don't know, all black suit? I don't know.
You have to differentiate it a right. little bit.
But anyway, so the movie, I'm trying to figure out what causes... So the main character... The actor, I know him from, show, what was that movie with the dead body?
Warm Bodies?
No, it was a movie. Yeah. A show.
A show with a dead body. Zombie?
The Killing.
Oh, The Killing.
The Killing. He was the main character in Killing. He was one of the detectives.
Oh, The Killing. Sorry, I was thinking Killing. Of The Fall for a second.
Though. So he's the main guy who's Murphy in this movie. Oh, God damn it. Forgot the end of RoboCop 3 had one of the best things. I thought it was. He's like, so, your name is Murphy? He goes, my friends call me Murphy. You can call me RoboCop. I was like, it was one of the best lines. But anyway, back to the shitty version. This is a world where crime is in the U.S. is horrible, which... Seems, you know, it's Detroit.
Makes
takes
sense.
Place in Detroit. Detroit is the most dangerous city in the world. And the company, I'm thinking it's the same company, but anyway, the technology company that makes the Ed 209s, they make law enforcement robots.
Oh,
law enforcement robots for the entire world. Okay. So all these like third world countries and stuff have a law force that are robots. But the United States is the only country that is like, no, you can't do this. If we have people doing law enforcement, they have to have some kind of judgment. They can't just be robots.
The opposite of what's happening here.
I know, right? So they're trying to pass this law there's this law that gets passed that makes it illegal for robot cops.
Because that's a thing that... Oh,
that
Jesus.
Needs to happen. And so the main character, Murphy, forget what he was doing. He was investigating. I mean, he's an investigative cop. You remember how extreme the death of the first RoboCop movie was? Like where they shot off his appendages at a time, like his hand and then his other hand. And like, you know, it looked pretty graphic. He gets into his car and his car explodes.
Okay.
And that's how he dies. So they're like, oh, we're going to make this robot cop with a person in it. Because then it's a person and a robot. And if the government likes it, they'll repeal the robot law. So they create this robot to do that. The guy who creates the robots is the guy who plays Rorschach in Watchmen.
Okay.
And Freddy in The New Nightmare.
Yep.
In Elm Street. And he's like... showing the robots and stuff, he says, and he goes, I'd buy that for a dollar. Just to say it. I'm like, yeah, I would buy any robot for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you basically said it because it was in the first movie and the third one. And I'm like, why didn't you just said that just for the fans? And it was out of context. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it pissed me off so much.
I think it's funny because they said that for the people that came into this already loving RoboCop, not for the people that go, this looks interesting.
Right.
And the people that, and guaranteed, even if they thought it was going to be a great hit, they go, they should have at least known a little bit going, people that are huge fans of the first movie are going to hate this. But we'll put this in there because they'll like that.
Yeah. So they create this RoboCop, and much like the original RoboCop movie, he starts getting flashes of his memories, and he's like, oh my God, this happened, da 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 da. And then he starts investigating why he died. And he finds out there's a crooked cop on the law force. And he goes out and he says, this person did this, da 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 da. And then he's like, well, the law enforcement, or like her support supervisor
yeah.
knows as well. So like he's like basically starts exposing that the cop shop is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So they shut him down. And they're like, we can't. No, we have to, like, erase his memories. Like, we have to make him basically remote control. Because we need this law to get repealed.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't have him outing cops. So, that's basically the premise of the movie.
Okay.
And his wife's like, he's in there. I know he's still in there. And they're like, no, go away. You're going to make this look bad. Because they want people to know that Murphy's still in there.
Yeah.
Because of the law. But they don't want her finding out that they're controlling him.
Yeah.
Which makes this sound like a cooler movie than it was.
Yeah, so this doesn't sound too bad so far.
But, I don't know, it just felt so deadpan through the whole movie. I mean, I guess that's the end of the movie where they do that stuff, but I don't know. And then he's like, one of the programmers is like, I'm not going to wipe his memory, even though I say I'm going to.
And I hope, like, he says it that way, with a creepy hand.
It was
hands,
a girl.
Like, oh.
It was a girl.
I hope she says, I'm not going to wipe his memory.
They told her to wipe the memory, and then you like, oh, I bet she's not going to. And then he's like, oh, I have all my memories yet. And you're like, oh, she didn't do it.
That's a giveaway.
Yeah.
Murphy, are you in there? I have all my memories.
I have all my memories. Where's my wife? I must get to my wife.
Murphy.
I don't know. I thought it was, I mean, I made it sound like it was way better than it was. I gave it a 4.
Oof.
If you have any intention of seeing it, I say don't.
Yeah, because you texted me and you said, the new
RoboCop's bad.
Yeah, you just texted me out of the blue when I was at work, and you're like, the new RoboCop is bad.
Yeah, it was...
FYI, the new RoboCop is bad.
I don't know. Like, it should have been better, because they had better effects and all this, but the plot felt like it really wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It seemed like they're trying so hard to make it like the old one, but trying so hard to make it different.
I'll say part of the thing was in the first one, the original, it's like, hey, we're going to try this out. Check out how cool this is. And this one was right away. It's like, we can't do it because it's against the law. And yeah. It's like, as opposed to doing it and going, oh,
already have Ed 209s in public going around. Like, you're like, oh, robots do work.
Yeah.
So now you're doing a back step.
Yeah, so like the first one, it's like, oh, this is what we can do with science. We fucked up. This one's like, oh, we know we can fuck up, but it's like the bad thing is we're not supposed to do it. And you're like, fuck, it seems like the stakes get lower a little bit.
Okay, so most of the movie, maybe this is why I hated it. Most of the movie was training and how he uses the body.
Okay.
Like, the cool shit I was telling you was, like, the last 10-15 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
So most of it was, like, here, we're at a firing range. Oh, you got perfect aim. Oh, look what you can do. You can scan things. It's, like, I don't know. It was way into, training.
Yeah, I remember in the first one, it's like, oh, hey, we'll make him to a robot. Put him out on the street. He's, like, he's doing all stuff. Bang, 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 bang. Wow, he's pretty good.
Yeah, because he will, like, in this one, he scans something and go, okay, rewinds it, Like, he sees, like, rewinding a tape, like, oh, this is what happened to me. This is how I died. And stuff. It's like, what? You were there so you can just piece it together? And this is, I don't know. Yeah, I gave it a 4.
Well, the good news is...
That was the last movie I watched.
The last movie I watched in this month wasn't a total waste. It was in my horror movie box set. It was called Waxwork. Now... what's his name? Gremlins. Zach Gilligan, I think his name is. It's Waxwork.
Waxwork.
1993 or 92, I think.
88? Is Zach Gilligan?
Yep, Zach Gilligan. It's 88, sorry. So I think this is like
there's
right...
There's a sequel.
This is like right after Gremlins 1, but before Gremlins 2. So what happens is...
Waxwork, man.
And the thing that sucks, the thing I don't like about the movie, first off, is all the kids are rich douches. All the main characters...
That's the entire plot, one sentence.
What?
They say for this movie.
A whole rich bunch of rich douches?
No. I'll let you explain it.
Zach Gilligan... Is that Gilligan? Whatever.
Gallagher.
Whatever. Fuck him. Gremlins, man. Billy. Him and some friends, they walk past this place, and like he's like trying to get back with his ex-girlfriend and stuff like that, whatever.
Most movies we watch are like sixes on here.
Yeah.
That's their average of movies, I guess.
Yeah. But, they walk past this place where at the very beginning... The people in it get murdered, and then they just don't go to it, and suddenly they're like, oh, it's a wax museum now. I'm like, oh, that's a weird place to have a wax works. And like, oh, you should stop by tonight after midnight. And they're like, okay. So then a bunch of them go...
Yeah, this is before Gremlins 2.
So then a bunch of them... Yeah, because Gremlins 2 was like 91,
1990.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, sure, we'll stop by tonight. And they go in there, and they see all these like different wax museum like layouts, and... One person initially, like, he walks closer, like, the rope falls off, whatever. He's like, I'm going to go into the wax museum, like, exhibit. And he goes through a portal, and he's in the world. So, like, he walks in, and he's like, why am I in the woods? And he goes up to this cabin, and there's a...
What do you mean he's in the world? Like, a separate world?
Yeah, like the exhibit is like this guy sitting down at a table.
Oh, okay.
And then he walks into it.
So now he's the real person sitting at a table.
Suddenly he's in the woods. And he walks into the building, and it's a guy is turning into a werewolf, and he's like, what the fuck is this? And then some people come in, whatever, he gets bit, and he turns into a werewolf, and then the guy's like, oh, we gotta shoot him, and then he shoots him, the guy goes into the exhibit, and then it cuts back, and in the exhibit, you see him sitting, like, werewolf dead against the wall, and it's the character, and then, like, all their stuff, so, like, so, basically, the guy who owns the waxwork is luring them into the exhibits so they can have their pieces in the exhibits as human bodies, which I'm like, that's kind of neat, because then each person that whenever they go into a new thing, it's like, oh, here's this new scenario. And I feel like I had a nightmare as a kid. I might have seen parts of this as a kid, because I remember it, as I was watching, I'm like, this has a weird, faint, like, familiarity to it. I don't know. But then, like, right near the end, they're like, oh, here's the real plot. And, like, that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because this says, a wax museum owner uses his horror exhibits to unleash evil onto the world.
Yeah. Okay, then I guess he does kind of explain it. Because...
That's all they have.
The reason why... Because he says, oh, don't bring more than 6 friends. Because once each... Of the people, like...
Sucked into the story that it's portrayed.
Yeah, once they get into the story and stuff, and they're in it part of the exhibit, then they come back to... they come out of the exhibit, and they can take over the world of the evil, I guess. And then they have a big, huge fight at the end. It was interesting. It was definitely not what I expected.
There's a sequel.
Okay.
He's in it as well.
Not to spoil it, but the ending leaves it open for a sequel.
Okay, so the first one came out in 88. The second came out in 92.
All right. The old dude who runs the thing, he looked very familiar. Right, I didn't look to see what else he's been in.
In the sequel, a couple must use portal through time to defeat evil.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like the first one. But
it's a couple now instead of just people.
Yeah, he was trying to find his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend and stuff, and. But yeah, I gave it a 6. because it wasn't bad.
Some Cobra Man guy in it or something.
What? Cobra Man? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, like in the first one, like they had like one where it was like they had vampires and werewolves and stuff like that. Like I think of pirates. I don't remember exactly. I had to think about it. But I gave it a 6. That was the last movie of my month. So overall, the movies that I had watched for this month that were on my list of movies that I own was The Thing with 7, Dark Knight Rises 7.5, Kill a Mockingbird 8, Creepshow 2 6.5, Chud 6.5.
I forgot to talk about one of my movies.
House 5.5, Chud 2 2, Waxwork 6. What'd you do?
I watched Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah. You did watch that.
I was like, I skipped it because we went from Wonder Woman, yeah.
To Robert Williams.
I didn't write anything down.
It's done. All right, and...
Yeah. I just gave it a this. It was okay. You can definitely tell it was inspiring a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a private school where a bunch of kids go, and Robin Williams, he's a teacher, but he doesn't teach school or teach classes the way the school wants him to.
Yeah.
He thinks free thinking is important and all this stuff is, you know, be your own person and do what you want to do. Don't take orders and blah, 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 blah. Seize the day was like the big catchphrase that everyone says.
The episode of Community is basically that movie.
So the whole premise of the movie is that Robin Williams' character, as I said, teaches these students this stuff. And the school gets pissed because he's not following the curriculum. He gets fired. Did this happen before or after? You haven't seen it in a long time.
I saw it in junior year high school.
One of the kids, I don't remember the order, they find out that the teacher was in this group called the Dead Poets Society where they would go into this cave and basically read stories that they weren't allowed to. Poems and stuff that the school doesn't allow him to.
Yeah, it's too free thinkable.
Right, they don't want people with free thought. And one of the kids says, "I want to be an actor," and his dad doesn't want him to. And they're like, "Just go and audition." He's like, "All right, I'll go and audition. And then if I get the part, I'll tell my dad, and he'll be like pissed, but he'll be happy because I'm succeeding at something."
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, he gets the part, and then his dad finds out, his dad's pissed, like. Royally pissed. I think that's what triggers the firing of the teacher. Hey, you're teaching these kids how to do this stuff that they, you know, their family's not approving and blah, 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 blah. So they fire him. The kid ends up killing himself because he doesn't want to do what his dad's telling him to. He wants to be his own person. So he ends up killing himself. And it's... I don't know. I feel like there didn't need to be a death. They could have done something else. That was, you know, what shook everything. And the kids all loved their teacher, even though he was gone. And, you know, they stood on their desks. Captain, my captain, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I gave it a 5.5, which is better than it was RoboCop. A decent movie. The basic premise has been done a million times. I think last month or the month before I watched With Honors, which felt like a similar movie. I mean, more current, but he learned it from a homeless man instead of a teacher. And I like that better because, the homeless person, there was more character and I don't know.
He's funnier.
He's funnier. Pesci's funnier than Williams. so sorry. Forgot about that movie. Because I watched RoboCop and Dead Poets Society for my movies.
Yeah.
Did you go through all yours?
Yeah.
Okay. The worst movie I watched was the RoboCop from 2014, the remake, with a 4. And the best movie was Wonder Woman with a 9.
Shud 2 was the worst I did, too. And Wonder Woman 8.5. But yeah, so if you want to text us, email us, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. You can say, hey, I like this movie, or you should watch this movie. Or
Jason, you have bad taste in movies.
Yeah.
RoboCop was amazing.
Craig always gets mad at us and tells
us. No, he doesn't. He's moved on to the point. He's like, yeah, that's just the way Jason is. He doesn't like good stuff.
Well, I'll say, like, he's always surprised. Like, this is why you should email us, Craig, because he's like, yeah, it was there's a movie. I can't remember what it was, but I was like, wow, I'm surprised you guys liked that much. Or I'm like, that, you should email us, and then we can talk about it on the thing or whatever, or we'll at least respond to you and know what movie it was instead of coming up to us in a party and be like, hey, yeah, I listened to your podcast. I don't remember anything I was going to tell you. I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention Tony this time. Tony.
Yeah, just mention it.
Well, I was going to say, because I think he was the one that told me about the Creepshow 3, I think. If not, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, otherwise, other than that,
that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.